like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Amen. You may be seated. A beautiful chorus. Good morning. The bell's working and we are too, right? So here we are. It's good to see you all. Thanks for making the extra effort, whatever that might have been, to get yourself cleared out yesterday and to come to church today. Praise the Lord. This is where we are to be. Sorry about the insert, as light as it is. You've probably noticed that if you've looked. Well, we've, the last 2 weeks, that copy machine has worked very hard on annual reports, updated phone directory, Salem Spire, your newsletter, the bulletins, and it sort of said that was enough when it came to the inserts. We had the copier repairman here Thursday and back again Friday and back again tomorrow with more parts. So it's the best we can do. But today is an important day. It is our annual meeting of the congregation. By law, we have to do that. And it's an exciting time as we go over the reports and see what God has done and is doing in our midst. So we do have lunch for everybody. If you're a visitor or whatever, there'll be more than enough, I'm sure. So that's why after church, we're locking the doors. So you have to stay for lunch and the annual meeting. No. But we really, it is important to stay for the annual meeting, the members. I know the ones with kids, maybe you could put a video on in the Sunday school room down there and have a couple adults watching some of the kids. That's a thought, too, so we can have a good turnout. Because I know our attendance is less today because of the weather. But, you know, these decisions are hard to make. What's next weekend going to be like? So, and the food, a lot of it was prepared. So we're here. And God is here with us. So annual meeting, Lunch, 12:45, the meeting starts. Big thanks to the women of the church for being willing to serve the lunch today. Nominations to the consistory, I have to read these. They are in your bulletin. Those all that I read your names today, I'll ask you to stand. So Steve Pressler being nominated for second term as elder. Steve's over here. And Johnny Whale being nominated for first term as deacon. And Justin Hondel, first term as deacon. And then we have two on the Christian Ed Committee, Lee Heckenleibel is moving into Sunday School Superintendent, and Kevin Holsworth, where's Kevin? There you are, Assistant Sunday School Superintendent. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. So those are positions we vote on at the annual meeting. There can be nominations from the floor as well. Just a couple other things here. Last Sunday, if you were with us on the sanctity of human life, what an excellent job Rachel Jones did presenting Zoe Care, and what a beautiful offering. Just praise the Lord. We didn't send the check yet. If you're wondering, if you weren't here and thought, oh, I'd like to give something, you still can. Just make the check to the church and make the notation on the memo line. We'll send it down this week. Also, make sure you pay attention. We're doing a marriage seminar the last Sunday of February, that evening. There's a confirmation fun trip the Sunday before that. So parents, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, make sure you notice that detail. Last announcement, I'm going to make this now rather than joys or concerns, but a big special congratulations to J.R. Van Zyl. J.R., you got to stand up for us. I know you're back there. He became a citizen of the United States of America on Friday. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, J.R. So that's a big deal. To do it the right way, it's a big deal and a lot involved. It was supposed to happen in, was that early December or somewhere? The 19th of December, and the weather got in the way, and so it was Friday. There was Ann and I were able to be there. It was exciting. 198 new citizens in our nation from 53 different countries. JR comes from South Africa. He's been over here for, I don't know, 10 or more years, I'd say. 13 years, yes. So I was privileged to do his and Chandra's wedding, and God has blessed him with three little girls. So that's exciting. The rest, other announcements, hopefully you're able to read them anyway. I'll let you read those as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. It's a chilly one out there, but we thank you for the sunshine. We thank you that the wind didn't get so crazy through yesterday and last night or today with that light snow, that we're able to get around with good vehicles. And thank you for the warm houses that we're blessed to live in and the warm sanctuary, and on we could go. But Lord, most important, we are here to worship you, God our Father. You are the Ancient of Days, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our King and our Redeemer. And we are thrilled to be here. Thank you for bringing everyone in safely. And watching over everyone as we go on the roads and on the sidewalks as some spots are slippery. But we give this time to you, Lord. We present our bodies before you today as living sacrifices and ask you to work through us in this worship service and beyond through the annual meeting. We thank you for filling this place with your glory and your power and your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing our opening hymn, number 17, Our Great Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You might know it as that. Jesus, what a friend. Sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, he my Savior makes me whole. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a friend. Myself in Him, tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He my strength, my victory wins. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, He my plot, hears my cry. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive Him, more than all in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Amen. Yes, He is with you to the end. If God be for us, who can be against us, the scriptures say? And the answer is nobody. Take a moment, greet those around you before you are seated. All right, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here. I have some things to start off with, as usual. First, our one-act play here from Menno. They got second place in regions this last week, which means they move on to state this Thursday. I know from our congregation we have Kaylee Derby, got an outstanding performance medal. Is she back there? Did she have to go to, yeah. Good job, Kaylee. And we have some others, some of the guys who were behind the scenes with sound and props and whatnot. And am I missing anybody? Okay. So good job. Some other things here. First, Brian Melhoff, he had that pretty extensive back surgery this last Monday, and he's at home recovering. And Steph, I think I saw, he's doing okay? All right. And on that note, Steph's aunt did pass away this last week too. I don't remember if that happened before last Sunday, but the funeral is tomorrow in Pier. Okay, so prayers for them through this time. Josh Wilcoxon, his shoulder surgery went good, and he's home recovering. Landon Nuss, he spent from Tuesday on, and still in the heart hospital, yet today he had a lot of tests done. They did finally put a stent in yesterday in the worst. There were, I think, three blockages. They put a stent in the worst one, so hoping that will help. So prayers for him. And let's see, Hannah Mettler, Jeff and Linda Nuss's granddaughter over in Brazil. Last Sunday I announced that she's on a mission team over there, and the place where they're staying got broken into, robbed all their money and their passports. So, but they did not get to go into the jungle then where they were supposed to, but they're still there, and look, sounds like they'll get new passports in a week. Is that how you're? Yeah, so continued prayers for them over there while they're there in Brazil. Let's see. Prayers for all of you that work outside. Over at Vermeer and with the livestock, calving and lambing, the highway department guys, drivers and plows, EMTs and all, we pray for you in this cold, cold weather. Continued prayers for Marvin. You're looking good. Okay, thumbs up there. And Ruth Breeding, she's still in the hospital at McKinnon up there too. Lonnie Herbold, is he back home? Okay, Dave's brother. All right, good. Anything else? Yes, whose hand is that, Trace? Cool, Trace Hollinsworth's birthday is tomorrow. How old are you going to be? 7. Happy birthday, Trace. All right, good to have Kylie and Tyler and little Oliver here today too. Anybody on this side? Okay. Hayden? Tomorrow is Jolene Dangle's birthday. Happy birthday, Jolene. Yes, Shauna? Tuesday coming is Matha Hess's birthday. Happy birthday to Matha. All right. Okay. Yes, Aria? That's right. Grammy, who is Melanie Wilcoxon, has a birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to you, Melanie. Okay. Yeah, Johnny. Lori Whale's birthday is coming on Friday. Lots of birthdays. Happy birthday. Okay. Oh, yeah, Kayleen. Okay. Yeah, Kayleen's daughter Linda and husband Mark and kids are here from Wagner, and Linda had birthday last Wednesday and Mark is this coming, so happy birthday to you guys. All right, let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for lots of birthdays mentioned here this morning and each of these individuals in their lives. We thank you for them and for the work you do in them and the people that you bless through them in incredible ways. We pray for many more years of health and life and strength to them. Thank you, Lord, for the one-act play here from Menno as they go on to perform at State in Sioux Falls on Thursday. Just be with them. And thank you for Kaylee getting that special honor and some others as well did also. We just thank you for all involved in Mrs. Knodel all the years that she has directed this play, and this will be her last. So help, we pray for things to go well there. We, Lord, many that coming through surgeries and procedures, Brian Melhoff and Josh and Landon Nuss, we just thank you for each of them and your healing power working mightily within. Lord, these others, Ruth Breeding, who's been up there for 3-4 weeks now, Father, we just continue to lift her before your throne. And Marvin Gehring, thank you that he's with us today and you're renewing his strength. We thank you that Lonnie Herbolt was able to come home from the hospital. And just pray, Lord, your mighty, mighty work in their bodies. For you are our healer, Jesus. And we know that. We thank you for Hannah Mettler and her team there in Brazil. We pray, Lord, that you give your angels charge over them each and every day as they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for help with their passports being returned. We pray for the financial part that you just work all that out, Lord, in unexpected ways, because that's how you do. And Lord, in the midst of this extreme cold, what's coming this week, we pray for the livestock, the cattle, the lambs, the sheep, the horses, and the pets that are outside, and the farmers that work with them. Just guide them in all of this, especially those that maybe have started with the lambing and the calving and challenges that this presents, Lord. We lift up, as I said earlier, our highway workers running the snow plows in these conditions, in the early hours and the long hours, keep them safe. For those others I know over at Vermeer and many other places like that, that factory workers that have to be outside in the lots and bringing supplies in, Lord, be with them. Thank you for your grace and mercy upon them. And certainly our first responders, that you guard them as well. Lord, in all of this, daily and even today, we pray for our nation, asking for revival across this land and thanking you by faith for what you are doing behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. Lord, you are working, and we know you are. In the midst of sometimes what seems like great darkness, you are greater than it all. We pray for our state of South Dakota and thank you where we live. We're blessed to be here. Be with our governor. Be with our state senators and representatives and guide them in important decisions they make for our state. We pray always for our troops that so faithfully serve, whether National Guard or in the armed services. Watch over them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 15, verses 12 through 14. My command is this, Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. You know the verse. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise you. We thank you that you gave the supreme sacrifice of love as you laid down your life upon the cross for us. As you hung there in our place, we are forever grateful. And so we bring our offerings into this, your storehouse. It's part of who we are, our livelihood. We bring our gifts, our offerings, our tithes as an act of worship before your throne, so that your word can be proclaimed, not just in this local church, but far beyond, that we can bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, teaching them in Sunday school, confirmation, youth group, and far beyond. So important. So thank you for blessing these gifts and the givers, Lord, as you do so faithfully in Jesus' name. And we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, kids, you can come for the Kingdom Kids time, please.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you all doing? Good, okay, just find a seat. Over there, Trace. Here we go. Yeah, I'll tell you that in just a minute. Well, you know, we've been talking, Pastor Mike has been talking, and 2 Peter, and in verses 1 through, I think, 11, and he's talking about God giving us things, everything we need to be how Jesus wants us to be and to live. He gives us everything. We don't have to come up with it ourselves. And one of those things that he'll be talking about today talks about self-control. Everybody say that. Self-control. Now first, we're going to talk about what self-control is not. What do you think? Not listening. Maybe talking all the time and not listening. Do any of you ever get in trouble in school for talking too much? Nobody wants to admit it. I remember when I was in school, I got in trouble for talking too much more than once. You did too? Yeah, that's being honest there. Yeah, so how about do you ever get mad and you just want your own way and you just throw a fit? Or maybe when you were younger? Or maybe your brothers and sisters throw fits? Right. Oh, it's pointing to his brother. Yeah. It's just like not having self-control is just like everything. It's just a little bit wilder, it seems. Last night, we were at Rooster's, and it was just really funny because there was a young boy there, and he was just going, bzz, bzz, bzz. And I called him an Energizer Bunny. Do you know what that's talking about, you older ones? That commercial of the bunny that just never quits because it's got the right batteries? Right. So I was saying that this little guy, he had a lot of energy. Now, I can relate to that because I have a lot of energy at times. I go to bed early, though, so I do sleep. Do any of you have a lot of energy? What do you think? Raise your hand. Do you have a lot of energy, or have you been told you have a lot of energy? Pretty much everybody, especially when you're younger, too. And for some of us, we do have a little bit more energy than others, and it's a little harder to show self-control. But self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's given to us. And we don't have to figure it out by ourselves. We don't have to just try and do everything and keep everything in control by myself. We have the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. Okay, so now I'm going to show you some examples of self-control. Let's have the sixth graders come up. I know we have a couple of them here. Is that it? Okay. We're going to see if they cannot laugh. Okay, yeah. for 30 seconds, okay? But we can't touch you. So you have to face these guys. And you all have to try to make them laugh. We're going to see if they can control themselves. Ready? Go. Come on, try harder. Wow. Oh, she goes. Leah laughed. Okay, then Briley did too. It's hard, but you did it. You had it for a long time, right? Okay, sit down. That's part showing if we can control ourselves. You know, the preschoolers, when they're waiting to go to the bathroom, and one point of their day, they play a game with them called Don't Laugh, right? And you'd be quiet, and they try really hard and see who wins. Okay, I have another one. So I want my fifth graders to come up if they're willing to help me with this. If you're in fifth grade. Oh boy, we have a lot of them. Okay, I'm gonna have to break up some more. Okay, hold on here. Oh, I'll just do. So this time they're gonna get a piece of candy and they can't chew it. Okay, hold that until I tell you. No, you don't wanna swallow it. You don't wanna swallow it. You're gonna hold it on your tongue with your tongue out. Got it? Okay, come on over here, Audrey. Wait. Come here, Audrey. All right. Sorry, you and Trent have the longer pieces, but just do the best you can. Okay. So you're going to put your tongues out. Tongues out. Put that candy on it. Don't shut your mouth. Oh, there goes one dropping. No, let go of it. Let go of it. Okay. See how long can anybody? Where's yours? Did you fail? Okay, see? Keep it going. Oh yeah, pretty good self-control, you all. You getting tired of that? You're gonna spit it out? Okay, we better stop them. I don't want to have anybody throwing up in here on me. Good job. You had self-control. You can keep that piece. You go sit down. So those are just fun examples of controlling ourselves, right? So God wants us to have self-control. So maybe we don't have to be the one that always wants to grab for something, you know, like when we have, I give you a treat at the end. Sometimes we all just go, boom, right on me, and you just start grabbing, right? It's just how we do. Just wait. Just control yourself and just wait, because there is enough for everyone, I promise, okay? Maybe in school when your teacher's trying to teach, or your mom's at home and or dad and they're trying to teach, instead of interrupting them all the time, trying, you know, having to say something, wait, and they'll call on you, okay? Right, lots of different things that we can do, and it's a challenge, and I get it. It's easier for some than others, but who lives on the inside of us? God does. He does, and he's our helper. And the Holy Spirit, we've been given the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is self-control. So we just have to ask him, help me, Holy Spirit. You made me. I have a lot of energy. Help me. And guess what? Will he?
Yes.
Who has to ask? You do. You have to ask. You pray. You talk to him. You ask him. I bet you he'll help you. Okay? All right, let's pray. Then when we're done, Leah and Briley, if you will come and help pass these out. Everybody gets one, and just let them give you one, okay? All right, let's not grab, okay? Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for all these wonderful boys and girls. We thank you, Father, that you're helping us all to learn self-control, that you want us, Jesus, to grow in this as in the other fruit, that when we're at school this week or at home, we can remember we're not alone. You're with us. Help us to control ourselves when it's needed. I ask you to bless these boys and girls wherever they go. Help them to share about Jesus to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now remember?
Self-control.
Self-control. She's going to give you one. Just take what she gives you. They give you, okay? And go get your papers.
Got it. Self-control.
Just take
thank
what
you,
they
Ann.
Give you. Yes.
We'll sing number 83 while the kids
here,
are going back
one.
To their
here,
seats.
Just take
we'll
it.
Sing
just
it
take
twice.
It.
There's
we go.
Something about that name. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there is. Let's bow our heads, please, once more. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. We thank you that you have given us the authority and privilege of using the name of Jesus in prayer. For we know that the scriptures say that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We know also, the scripture says, that even Satan and all his demons tremble at the hearing of the name of Jesus. So, Father, let us be bold in our prayers. Let us grow continually in your word as we listen to it, as we learn it and study it, as we grow in our knowledge of you and our knowledge of your word. We thank you for it. Let our hearts and minds be open today for what you have in store for us. And I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we're at before last Sunday. Well, I'd just say this is the third Sunday. We're on 2 Peter chapter 1. There is a lot in these 11 verses, I'm telling you. So I'm going to read it again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, there it is, right? To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beautiful passage of Scripture. So I'm going to try not to review too much so we can move on with where we need to move on to today. But just real quick, this, as I've said the last two times, Peter, the Apostle Peter, knew the end of his life was very soon, and it was. Remember how he died? He requested to be crucified upside down, and he was. That comes from early church tradition. I don't have a scripture verse on that, but early church tradition tells us that. So I believe that to be accurate. But he was concerned, as he's writing to the believers then and speaks to us today, as he was going to leave this earth, he was very concerned about their spiritual growth. And that's what these first 11 verses are telling us about. Add to your faith this and this and this, our spiritual growth, because I want to jump real quick to verse 8 and 9, and then we'll back up to the earlier verses. And I want to read this verse 8 and 9 in the New Living Translation. Just listen to it in this. As you add all these things, right, the more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful. Productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues, there's seven of them we're looking at, they are blind or at least very short-sighted or nearsighted. Well, what's nearsighted mean? You can see things close up better, but not far away. Can't see far out. He's talking spiritually in their lives. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So the more you do, the more we grow and add these virtues in our lives, the more we will become productive and useful in our knowledge of Christ. Well, let's bring it to the natural sense. In our rural communities here, farmers, that's always your goal, isn't it? As you're preparing the soil in the spring and learning and growing in your knowledge of the soil and the nutrients and all that's required to grow the production the best you can get out of it. And that's what Peter, by the Holy Spirit of God, is saying to us in our lives spiritually. He wants us to be productive and useful. Oh, in not just farming, but every area. As parents, as we raise our children, what's our goals? To raise these kids to be productive and useful in society. Teachers, as you teach the kids, same goal. Healthcare, I mean, I could go on and on to get the people back where they're healthy and productive and useful again. It all ties in. But this, what we're focusing on, is spiritually. So number one, I'm just going to say the point. I'm not going back through all that. God gives us everything we need to grow. He does. The first verses say that. Everything he gives us for life and godliness in this life. Secondly, then he goes into the steps. How are we supposed to be growing in our lives, in our walk with the Lord? For this reason, verse 5. Chapter 1. What reason? Because he's given us all these things, right? It's not rocket science. For this reason, make every effort. Another translation says applying all diligence to grow, to add to your faith. That's the starting point. All these seven other virtues. So I think 2 weeks ago, we have all these things in Christ. I made the comparison on a natural side that I had looked up just out of curiosity. Some of these people that win the Mega Million lottery, you know, said the statistics, recent statistics say that 70% of those who win the Mega Million lottery end up bankrupt in 10 years. That just sort of blows your mind, doesn't it? Why? Well, they don't know how to manage it, obviously, right? And so the comparison is God has given us all these amazing things as we live in Christ, and we have a part to play in managing, so to speak, what he has put on the inside of us. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. So add to your faith. That faith is our salvation, right? That is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Our salvation is not by works, can't earn it, can't buy it, anything. It is a free gift. But then God expects us to do something with it. As we walk in this life spiritually, he expects us to grow. And that's why he's saying this. So seven virtues here. They don't have to be just in order. Okay, I'm supposed to grow in what first? Goodness. Okay, I'm going to work on that, and when I get that accomplished, I'm going to grow in knowledge. And so, no, it's all, we're working on them all together, all of these seven virtues. Goodness, I started out on that 2 weeks ago, speaking of moral excellence, how we live our lives. I talked about in school nowadays how the kids are taught the character counts pillars. Those are important things. It's good that they're taught. They need to be taught at home. I'm going to be saying that a whole bunch. What are those pillars? They tie in with this: trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, citizenship. So goodness. Second, we went through knowledge. Add to your goodness knowledge. And in these verses, three different times, he speaks about growing in our knowledge of God and Christ Jesus. Well, of course, that comes through his word. That's how we grow. That's why we come. One of the reasons why we come today, to grow in the knowledge of his word. That's why we have Sunday school for the children. That's why we have the adult classes. That's why we have midweek Bible studies, all for growing. That's why you can listen to lots of good, solid preaching on radio stations. I mean, it's all around us. We just have to partake of it. To grow in our knowledge of his word. As I mentioned, I think, 2 weeks ago, a big part of what we see happening in our nation and world is because there's a great lack of knowledge of God's word. In our country, a sad, sad lack of knowledge of God's word. And so if God's word is not prevalent, and children are not brought up to know God's word, then what happens? Everything we are seeing. All these things we're seeing because God's word teaches us what is right, what is wrong, what are the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, what are the lusts of the flesh, sexual immorality, and all, that's just one of them. And so we see these things. So many times I'm tempted to write a letter to the editor, and maybe I should. I haven't. Even, you know, in the Courier this week, so there's the big ad about, if you get it, all, and there has been a lot of mass shootings this year. You know, you see it on the news. How many? Is that sad? It's sad. What frustrates me is they never go to the root of the problem, which is a lack of knowledge of God's word in our nation. That's the root. The further things go from God and his word, the more darkness is going to increase. That's just how it is. It is that simple. And that's why we have to be all the more diligent. And you are, and God bless you for doing so, for having your children and youth here faithfully, regularly, growing in the knowledge of God, because we have got, these are our future leaders. We always say that for every generation. We've got to have children and youth growing up who know the Lord and his word, who will stand, who are strong in the knowledge of God. Okay, I better keep going, hadn't I? And to knowledge add self-control, okay? The ability to restrain ourselves, just what Ann was talking about with the children. This is where I sort of digressed 2 weeks ago. Your fill in the blank there is the original Greek term was used in athletics. One of the eighth graders said to me, well, Pastor Mike, I didn't get that filled in my sermon notes because when you got there, you started talking about your gout and you never got back to the blank. True. He was listening. Good job, eighth grader. I won't call you out here. No, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, as he was talking about running the race, he says, I don't just run aimlessly. You can't win a race doing that. You got to stay in your lane and to the finish line, right? No, he says in verse 27, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now the King James, I don't know if New King James says this word, but I know Old King James used to say a little bit nicer word, says there, I buffet my body. And I don't know, maybe you ever heard a minister say, now he didn't say I buffet my body. We like to go to the buffets, don't we? Yeah, no, he said, I buffet my body. NIV, I beat my body. In other words, not literally, okay? But into submission, athletics. Athletes, you all know it. If you are, if you ever have been, you have got to have self-control in your life to compete. It's just what it takes. And we teach this to our children as they're growing up, which ties into the letter D. Let's go on. Perseverance. ESV says steadfastness. What? To stay faithful. We know what perseverance is. To stay faithful, not just for a short time, but over the long haul. When we feel like quitting, we don't. We push through, right? And I think most all of us, I would say, I thank God for my parents that taught us to work. We weren't farm kids. We were city kids, but we worked on the farms. In Arlington, Nebraska, we walked a whole lot of bean fields. And some of those that were filled with button weeds and cockle burrs so thick you couldn't even see the bean plants, we crawled through those rows with that corn knife, right? And did I want to quit? Oh, did I want to quit? Did I grump? I'm sure I did. But I knew I couldn't quit. And even we'd go on vacation because both my parents were farmers, grew up on farms, southeast Nebraska. And what did we have to do on vacation? Help our uncles walk their bean fields or the Milo fields. And then we really complained, Dad, we are on vacation. We are not doing this. You are doing it. Get up and get out there. So what does that teach? It teaches perseverance, and we know in our Midwest rural culture, that is taught. It is. That's why a lot of times East Coast, West Coast, they look for Midwest graduates for that reason. Godliness. We talked about that. We saw that word in way back in verse 3. He's given us all things that we need for life and godliness. That very simple, living a godly life. It does matter how we live in front of other people. It does. People should be able to see our lives, and if they don't know us from anybody, if they move into the community, they should be able to, by observing and hearing our talk and seeing our actions, to say, I bet that person knows Jesus. I just got a feeling. Well, how do you know that? I can tell by their face, the smile on their face. I can tell by their gentle heart. I can tell by the words they use, whatever it might be. Paul said to Timothy, he said, physical training is of some value, and it is. But godliness has value for all things. Physical training, we talked about that with self-control, comes into spirit, soul, and body. All you who've been here all these years, you ought to know this up and down and inside and out as much as I mention it. But it is so important, our three-part being. We are spirit beings made in the image of God. Why do I point here? Because in the scriptures it talks about this Holy Spirit out of your belly, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. You are a spirit being, small s, created in God's image. The Holy Spirit, capital S, as you become a believer, comes to indwell your human spirit. So there's that. You have a soul, which is your mind and will and emotions, and you live in a body right here. And this thing here, the desires of the flesh, even as we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, man, those desires can be so strong, get us in trouble. We all know it. We've all been there. But godliness, that's what we're on. Okay. So when we receive Jesus, the change is instant on the inside. The Holy Spirit comes to live within. He's in there. Some change happens in our thinking, in our soulish realm, yes. But we still got a whole bunch of stinking thinking in there. And the body, those fleshly desires you got to fight against as long as you are in that body, as long as you are on this earth. So it's a struggle. So the body, yeah, it's there. That's why Paul said, I beat my body into subjection. what in to line up with God's word. Spirit, our spirit filled with the Holy Spirit, that's done. The mind, we can do a whole lot with that. The thoughts that come in, we can control those. And the more we grow in our knowledge of God and His Word, the more our thoughts will line up to His Word. There's always going to be a battle because that's where Satan attacks, in the mind, with all kinds of stuff. But if we get it lined up with God's Word, then we got two against one. I think it was way back when Caleb Pressler and Matthew were in middle school, or I don't know if it was early high school. I had the two of them up here acting it out with me. Do you remember that? Yeah, that was years back. Because he's 50 now, you know, so no. Godliness. And to godliness add brotherly kindness, brotherly affection. Some translations say brotherly love. What is that Greek word? Phileo. That is one of the three Greek words for love, phileo, agape, eros, in the Greek, okay? So phileo, well, what's the city of brotherly love? Philadelphia comes from that Greek word. Add to these things brotherly love. Listen to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now about brotherly love, Paul says, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Brotherly love, it's not the highest form, which is agape, but it is a friendship love, and we got to have that as believers in our lives, in our church. It has to be in this day, you know, yeah, there's good things about social media, but there's a whole lot of not good things about it. And then one of the big not good things about it is, and I don't have it, but I hear enough about it, okay, is just the blasting that can happen. Oh, my goodness, some of the things I'm shown from time to time, I'm like, seriously? Would you ever actually say that to that person's face? Maybe some might say, I would. Well, guess what? It's a whole lot easier just to spit it out there. And that shouldn't be. Should not be. As the church, we have to have these virtues operating in our lives. We need each other, the body of Christ, we do. Letter G. Then we come to love. Add to brotherly love, phileo, you got to add to that love, agape, the God kind of love, the perfect love of God, loving each other unconditionally. Loving God, number one, unconditionally. Loving your spouse, your wife, your husband, unconditionally. Loving each other this way. That is a hard, it's hard, can be hard to do. Jesus said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. When I meet with the couples before marriage, I always say the bigger task is on us, guys, because Jesus literally gave his life for the church. He became sin for us when we totally didn't deserve it. Love, the God kind of love. And so it sums it all up. Add to faith. Faith is the foundation. Love, agape love, is the culmination, and all these steps in between. Goodness, knowledge. I got to look at them in order. Self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, agape love. So today, I'll wrap this up here, is, of course, our 141st annual meeting. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 141 years. We got some here in their 90s. Some that helped build this church, this building in 1964, 65. Elton Herbolt always tells me, I think it's this beam right here, the second one. When Pete's or who, one, whichever one was building this, and he told these young guys, of course, you know, he was just in his 40s, I suppose, then, the prime of his life. Says to Elton, I want you to crawl up there and polish that beam. Of course, Elton says, I don't want to quote him exactly, something like, What does that need to be polished for? Nobody's going to be up there to see that beam. He says, I said, get up there and polish that beam. And he did. He did. It looks pretty shiny yet today, I'd say. No, 141 years, and we rejoice in what God has done and what he's doing still today. It's incredible, and these virtues are so important in the life of a local church, because one of Satan's prime MOs is to stir up division and dissension. And we all have seen it. Many years ago, it happened here, 40-whatever years ago, I suppose. We see it happen in other churches that we know. And that's what we always have to guard against in the life of our local church, praying over the congregation. I hope you do that every day. Ann and I do every day together. We pray over the whole congregation, that we walk together in love, because God has a lot for us to do. He does. There's a lost world out there. And we are to be what kind of station? You got it. Good. A life-saving station. Yes, we are. So just in closing, those last verses again, real quick. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's the Holy Spirit who works in us. As we're together, as we're in his word, listening to it, studying it, praying, he works in us as we ask him to do. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, these things, they are all part of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You've actually placed these things in our lives. And we surrender to you, Lord, today, on this day of our annual meeting, and we ask you to work mightily in each of our lives. And I do thank you for this congregation, Lord. It's a blessing to serve here for all the families. We have from, 101, I think, coming on 102 years old, all the way down to newborn babies, and everywhere in between. Thank you for the work you do in our lives. And help us to walk in love towards one another each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To God be the glory. I thought that'd be a good hymn today. For the great things he has done. Number 56. Let's stand together and we'll sing this, our closing hymn.
Great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen. After the benediction, I'll have a prayer for the meal before we're dismissed here, okay? So please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let me pray for the meal. And Father, we do thank you for this time of food and fellowship now before our annual meeting. Thank you for the women and maybe some men too who've helped at home to put this all together. Bless them. We ask you to bless this food to the nourishment and strength of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So again, please, please, if you're able, stay for the meeting, but you are all welcome. Of course, if you're visiting, you're welcome to stay for the meal. There'll be more than enough. If you're visiting and want to stay for the annual meeting, you can do that too. You just wouldn't be able to vote. Okay? God bless you.